Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Live, welcome to the show. You can join us here. You can bring up anything you want to talk about. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You can also join us online anytime you want. Just head over to freetalklive.com and enjoy the features you will find there. Once again, freetalklive.com. Joining you here tonight is Ian,
Jay,
and Matt.
Welcome back, Jay Noon.
Thank you for having me. I've missed doing this. It's been almost 3 years.
Yeah, about three, right?
Is that right? 3 years already since the last time you were here?
Well,
since his daughter?
My daughter was born, and she'll be three here in about a week.
You know, Ian texted me about an hour ago, said Jay Noon's going to be on with us, and I was like, squee! I was pretty happy about that.
I came down here once, I think, when Luke Radowski was in town, or twice since then, but
that's been right. It. But you guys kind of switched off that night anyway, so this will be your first night back as a full-on co-host, and I appreciate it because I know you're always busy. You've got like a million irons in the fire. You're always fixing things for people and doing work on various different sorts, so I appreciate you stopping by.
Yeah, and you know, working and farming and raising cows and chickens with my kids, that consumes a lot of time, but that's I think a real good investment, mostly in my kids because they're just learning what life is about growing up as a farmer and kind of how I did it. So,
yeah, plus the government's making your life a little bit more difficult as well. Did they arrest your wife or just like charge her?
Well, they charged her, and so we got just pulled over in town and a little traffic violation thing. And the cop's like, oh, there's a warrant out for your arrest.
Oh, lovely.
And the cop was cool. The cop was like, oh, I'm going to follow you. We're quarter mile from the house. And the officer came back with, basically a summons to appear.
Okay. She avoided having to go down to the station and get booked.
And the thing is like, there was no notice sent or anything. And this was, we had gotten a letter from NHDCYF because they were, trying to investigate us. And what you got to understand, when DCYF does an investigation against you and you in any way, form, consent to that investigation, that state DCYF, it doesn't matter what state it's in, they get a large chunk of change from the federal government. They actually get it, the money. If you look up the an act called the Child Safety Something, Hillary Clinton brags about it as her biggest accomplishment being when she was in the White House and, obviously, when Bill Clinton was in president, like 97. So this started giving a whole bunch of Social Security money directly to the agencies that are essentially, like New Hampshire DCYF. So they get it's like $6,000 to $8,000 they get for like basically when you're like, okay, I'll talk to you. Because they just, if you don't talk to us, we're going to use
could
that
get worse.
You. Yeah. And if you go to, I have a YouTube channel also, you put it up on, Free Keen on Odyssey, the YouTube channel, I think is called Jay Noon or Uncle Jay. Actually, I got to get back to that and see what it is.
You're talking about the video where they showed up at your house?
Yeah. So there's two videos. The second video is once I had gotten a public records request back from them. I sent a public records request to the director of New Hampshire DCYF for his oath of office, oath to the Constitution, and also for their insurance information.
Was there one?
No. They said, we don't have those. Hmm. They respond. I said, for insurance information and their, like, the bond numbers and stuff, and the oath of office of the social worker, Melissa Coombs is her name, and the guy who was a director at the time, his name was Joe Rispom, I believe. So they're like, oh, we're denying you your public records request because state employees aren't required to have an oath of office.
Who is required? Is it just the police? Just the state representatives, the state senators?
Who's required?
Yeah.
People who are government in government positions. So the state of New Hampshire is actually like some kind of, you know, legal franchise. I've gone back to this several times. So actually there's two cases I could point to now. One of them is, if you want internet search real quick, Massachusetts state police are private corporations. You'll find a Washington Post article from 2014 where the Massachusetts state police were sued by the Massachusetts ACLU because the ACLU wanted to, you know, did a public records request for basically wanting to know what kind of arsenal the and training and equipment the Massachusetts State Police Terrorism Task Force have. Well, the lawyer, a guy named Jack Collins, who is the chief legal counsel for the Massachusetts Chief of Police Association, argued that the Massachusetts Chief of Police, the Massachusetts State Police, do not need to answer these public records requests, Freedom of Information Act requests, because they're private
government
corporations. They're not governments.
Hmm.
And what they provided for evidence was a IRS tax identification number that I believe had the prefix 098, but I'm going to have to, somebody maybe can correct me. But it's a prefix that only charities get, like the American Heart and Lung and the American Cancer Society. Hmm. If you just internet search this, I mean, it pops right up, even on Google. And, you know, they're not, you know, nobody's hiding this information that these governments, and they call them governmental agencies. And the suffix AL on the end of a word means similar to or like. So they're similar to or like governments. And basically, best I can tell, the state police are hired mercenaries for the American Bar Association, which is enforcing intellectual property law. And best I can tell, everybody who's operating with a name and date of birth given from a birth certificate and, you know, these all capital letters name, for example, driver's licenses and stuff are using intellectual property of the state. They're using benefits of the state.
Mm-hmm.
And this gets into other things like real quick. There's a I believe it was Missouri, but the acronym is ATF, which is American Teachers Federation. And a mother wanted to, you know, heard her son talking about, you know, how he was kind of feeling bad about being white. And, you know, and so they started talking about what they're learning about in school. And the mother wanted to know what the curriculum was being taught in her child's school. And she did a local state right to know request. New Hampshire, it's called a 91A, I believe.
Oh, wait, this was in...
This was in Missouri, but she did like whatever Missouri calls their right to know request.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was Missouri, and it's the American Teachers Federation. They responded with, "We don't need to answer your request. It's none of your business." And
they're just a union,
and and they said that they were, and this went to some level of court. I don't know how far up the one in Massachusetts I was talking about, where the state police claim they're private corporations. Mm-hmm. Went to the Supreme Judicial Court of Massachusetts, and the Supreme Judicial Court said, yes, the state police aren't bound by this. They're basically
shocking.
The same thing as American Heart Society. They're just a charity. Same thing with this Teachers Association. They claim that they are a the state or the county, it was, contracts with this private corporation, this private union, and those employees of that private union aren't subject to, you know, records requests or right to know.
Mm-hmm.
So what they've done is, you know, we have a parallel society or like parallel governmental
government
structure in place, and it's these school systems and all this administrative stuff, and it's everything that comes out of health and human services. So
I think government's basically always been that way, hasn't it?
I mean,
it seems like, you know, I always hear, not really. When did it change?
Well, in America, it changed with... So I did this deed research all the way back on some properties in Massachusetts, and there was no property tax on them basically until 1940. And in 1939...
Isn't that when they went bankrupt?
1939, well, the U.S. filed bankruptcy, the United States Corporation, and as far as I'm concerned, this soil of New Hampshire is not the United States. It is a sovereign nation of New Hampshire that is within a federation of other sovereign states called the United States of America. But the U.S., essentially, the United States... which is defined specifically as the District of Columbia territories and possessions, and also can be seen as this corporate entity that sort of does all this administrative stuff for the District of Columbia and its possessions.
I've seen that written repeatedly in all kinds of legal stuff.
Yep.
Where the United States of America is in or is constituted of D.C. alone or something like
that. Well, the United States is, but the United States of America is a union of states, sort of like the European Union.
So the United States is the corporate entity, and that lives in
best I can tell.
is only allowed to govern over D.C.
D.C. and U.S. citizens. This is why I've been saying for years it's important to get our status corrected.
And don't be citizens.
Don't be a United States citizen. You know, the term United States citizen is really first appears in this context in the 14th Amendment, all persons born or naturalized within the United States are subject to the jurisdiction of the United States, or United States citizens herein, and are subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. So the way I understand it is the slaves were never freed. They were essentially property that was seized by the United States, by the federal government, and then they were given special privileges and immunities, and those would be 14th Amendment United States citizens. Well, what happens, you know, fast forward to the future is, you know, people are signing government documents and swearing under, you know, some form of oath, like a driver's license or gun license or, you know, any kind of, you know, IRS paperwork that they're a United States citizen. And
that's what they get told from the day they're born, yep, basically, right, until yep, the day they die.
But then you're conditioned to be proud of it.
But of course, as we've seen with so many different U.S. Supreme Court cases, they have ruled again and again that there's no obligation to protect. So therefore, how could there possibly be a citizen, which is the definition of citizen? Even if you look into your plain old dictionary, let alone a legal dictionary, the definition of citizen is one who owes a duty of allegiance in return for an obligation of protection. So if there ever was a deal, the deal's been long since broken because they say they have no obligation to protect you. So therefore, how could you owe them any allegiance in the first place?
I don't know. And the thing is, but people just got to understand who they are and when they're using the benefits of the state. So, like, you hear about these farmers who get hammered on by, the FDA.
You're like for selling raw milk, like the Amish guys, that kind of thing?
All that stuff. And also, all the people that I have looked into that have had their children taken from them by CPS, just like all the farmers who have been basically screwed with by these, regulatory farm agencies.
Sure. The Bundy Ranch.
All these guys have taken some form of government subsidy, whether they're registering their land as a farm.
Even so the Amish?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Amish, they're almost forced into it. In fact, I used to deal with a tremendous amount of Amish people when I was in the hay business.
Mm.
And they were basically forced into having their kids ride the school bus. They didn't want the school bus picking up their kids and bringing them to the
they would even allow their kids to be sent to the government schools.
No, not to government schools. It was to their own Amish schoolhouse.
What?
So the state was providing school bus service for the Amish. This is in Stone Arabia, New York, which is it's a little west of Albany.
Wow.
You know where it is on the map, probably. Just north of Canajoharie.
I know where Canajoharie is. Yeah.
Stone Arabia is on this big high plateau. And there's a bunch of, you drive up there and there's just all Amish farms and there's all kinds of cool stuff you can buy all the time from them. But anyways, the Amish community is like very much like an agorist community. They trade very much amongst themselves. They actually are exempt from certain portions of property tax in New York State. They're exempt. They have a lobby. They've exempted themselves from Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened was a snowplow basically, plows over a couple Amish kids walking to the schoolhouse. And up there, like, I've seen the snowbanks in Stone Arabia, New York, on Route 10, literally almost touching the lower power lines because they'll have these big, like, graders with big wing plows on them, and they'll just push the snow up and up, and the wind just blows. It's like a high plateau. It's almost kind of like, being in Nebraska when it snows. It snows a few inches, but all the north-south roads get covered. So these kids get... I think one of them got killed, but definitely two kids got like mauled by a plow.
Jeez.
And then they were like, well, you're irresponsible. And, they're telling the parents for having them walk to school and,
State plow that hit them.
State plow hit them. Yep. Mm-hmm. Or a county or whatever. I'm not sure who, but some plow hit them. That was plowing the road. Yeah. It was on a state road.
Yeah.
And so they sort of like twisted their arms to have the kids take the school bus. Well, anyways, to wrap up what I'm saying here is anytime we take a subsidy from the government, and this has been ruled on by the courts, and I don't have this court site handy, but anytime you take a subsidy from the government as like a farmer, for example, mm-hmm. or a corporation, and even just being a corporation is basically a government subsidy as far as I'm concerned.
You're asking it's for a favor.
Well, yeah. It's you're being protected by the government. You know, when you're the purpose you become a corporation is to limit liability to yourself. You know,
generally, but not always.
And a lot of tax things, but that's also corporations belong to the government. The government mm-hmm. creates corporations.
The government is a corporation.
Yes. And yeah, they even like the town of Ware, New Hampshire, all their articles they write, it says the town of Ware, New Hampshire,
a municipal corporation
calling itself a governmental agency, because that's how they're in even New Hampshire. If you read the town charter, they all start off just like that. So anyways, getting back to this, when you ask government for a benefit, you waive your right to due process when it comes to the government coming against you, whether you get a grant to, for example, have a manure pit put at your horse stable, a concrete manure pit. And then 2 years later, the Massachusetts Manure Management Program sends, you know, some college kids over and, oh, we're going to take nitrogen samples all around your farm. This happened to some guys I know in Massachusetts. They're mm-hmm. like, no, you can't do – no, get off my property.
I'm sorry, sir. You consented when you became a
yep. So they corporation. Show up. They show up with basically a warrant that was like not even issued by a judge. It was signed by the director of some kind of agriculture, mm-hmm. whatever,
administrative.
Something like that. And we're doing this anyways. And the guy tried to like sue him, and he talked to a lawyer, and the lawyer's like, "You agreed to this. You got this, mm-hmm. you know, $20,000 to build this little concrete bunker to put your horse manure in. You know, that would probably cost you $2,000 back then to do it, but you know, you had to hire some special company to do it." It's the same thing. So if you're taking welfare, if you're taking, you know, if you have the state, you know, mandating child support from your, you know, baby's daddy, if you're taking WIC, if you're taking any government program, you are essential, probably, I haven't read this stuff, but I can tell you if you get a license to own a gun in New York, or if you get a license to drive a motor vehicle in Massachusetts, you agree to give irrevocable power of attorney to the director of motor vehicles in Massachusetts. In New York, it is the director of health and human services is who you give power of attorney to. Irrevocable power of attorney. And this is written in there, you know, basically, you know, mountains of, you know, statutes.
Irrevocable meaning that even if the driver's license expires,
it's
still permanently with them?
Right. So, yes, that's what they claim. But they never inform you of this. This mm-hmm. is Massachusetts, if you look up MGL chapter 93.5, and it's, I believe, A or 1. But if you just look that up, it'll say any person who applies for a license to operate a motor vehicle within the Commonwealth of Massachusetts gives irrevocable power of attorney to the Registrar of Motor Vehicles.
That's nuts.
It's right there in black and white. And so anyways, what's happening is these guys are basically the Bar Association, really, I believe, is just enforcing intellectual property law. And you are, if you give someone, you know, irrevocable power of attorney so you can use their benefits, that's essentially what you're, you know, what the contracting is working out to be. And, like, you know, the cops pulling you over don't know nothing about this. They just, you usually sure. think you're a whack job.
Well, they think you're a sovereign citizen, and that just amplifies you the possibility that you're going to get shot that day by quite a bit.
Possibly. I actually, and you know, I've had many, many, many interactions with police, and I would, you know, say that 90% of those interactions have turned out very positive for me. As you guys know, I was a hay dealer, and a horse trader, and I was driving to Canada and New York and back to Massachusetts and out to Pennsylvania, you know, multiple times a week I was doing this traveling. So a lot of times I'd either been broken down or something going on. I've had cops give me rides to get, you know, parts. I've had them help me work on trucks. I've had them even lend me their own personal tools. But you know, I did that stuff for 20 years and, I have noticed that, like, the cops that seem to be, like, you know, rural America are, like, really cool. And the cops that I've dealt with in the cities, they were just, like, really happy I wasn't some, like, drug runner or something, you know. Mm-hmm. So, and even locally with this, you know, New Hampshire DCYF, I've been, you know, it was been a really good positive interaction with the local Henniker police. They just, you know, like the chief police, he's like, you know, I'm here to protect people's rights. That's my job. He's, you know, and his guys that work for him all seem like they're just pretty, you know, stand up dudes. I don't really hear any, you know, ruckus in the community about, oh, the cops did this to me or that. But also it's a college town, so they got a lot of college kids to deal with. They, you know, they're pretty occupied.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to stop taking welfare from the state. Another thing that's got to happen is we need to support moms in general. We need to support, you know, single moms basically as our, you know, Free Stater Libertarian Community, the Shire Society, because it is so easy right now for a, you know, a mom to just go fill out the paperwork and be and get a whole bunch of money, you know, from the state.
I would hope that libertarian moms are, you know, not doing that as often. But
you would hope.
There's plenty of eligible guys out there. I mean, it wouldn't be that hard to meet somebody.
That's a whole different topic too. Yeah. But I think our, you know, like even talking about FBI informants, for example.
Mm-hmm.
The most likely individual to become an FBI informant is a mom that's essentially sought out, and the feds are like, hey, we're going to threaten you. They threaten them. They threaten to take their kids away. They threaten to do this. They threaten to do that. You know,
yeah. We saw it happen to Melanie Neighbors, former co-host here on Free Talk Live.
It happened to my dad in 1989. Our babysitter was threatened, and she was basically sat on a stand and just said all kinds of lies.
Damn.
And in a trial that my dad was in when I was, you know, 12 years old, you know, he was facing 15 years. You know, it was a federal deal. And, you know, FBI, totally corrupt, all kinds of stuff happened.
Mm-hmm.
He had no lawyer, and he won.
Wow.
And he was successful. My grandmother was actually convicted, and my father and, you know, and a few guys, you know, wrote an appeal, and they had my grandmother out in a couple weeks on appeal. But, you know, this was all, you know, due to some, you know, basically a stupid crime that my uncle did. He actually blew up a car. And, you know, but just because you're related to whoever, they just go after anybody they can. And so, the thing is so I watched this woman, a young woman, you know, she was our babysitter. She was like, maybe, and she was young 20s. And
they threatened her with something.
Oh, yeah. Right? Yeah, FBI agent said, we're going to take your kid. And
I'll do anything you say, officer.
Basically.
There's more coming up here. The number is 603-283-6160. Phones are open. Jay Noon's back. You know, he's quite the source of a lot of knowledge. So if you got any questions, you're welcome to join us here. 603-283-6160. You can join the show. This is Free Talk Live.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S. patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA News Update. President Biden says there's no evidence the three aerial objects shot down by the U.S. military recently are related to China's surveillance balloon.
Nothing right now suggests they were related to China's spy balloon program or that they were surveillance vehicles.
In remarks to the nation, the president said he gave the order to shoot down those objects.
I gave the order to take down these three objects due to hazards to civilian commercial air traffic and because we could not rule out the surveillance increased risk of sensitive facilities.
A woman in Pennsylvania and a man in North Carolina were charged this week after a six-year-old in each case brought a gun to school, marking at least three times an elementary school student has brought a weapon to campus this year. And Senator John Fetterman, Democrat of Pennsylvania's chief of staff, Adam Gendelson, said Fetterman has checked himself into Walter Reed National Medical Center. Dave Collins, USA News.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. Phones are open here. You can join us. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Join us online anytime you want. Just head over to freetalklive.com and enjoy the features we have for you. We have our own social media platform. Just go to social.freetalklive.com. It is self-hosted. It's a Mastodon system, which means it's federated. You can connect to other people on other Mastodon servers. And that means that you're not subject to the same big tech takedowns, which Matt just experienced over on Facebook. We didn't get a chance to mention that, but...
My Facebook account was old enough to vote.
Really?
It was old. I was one of the first people on Facebook, I think.
Wow.
It was back when you had to have a college account. A college account in order to have an account at all. You had to have a .edu email address in order to have an account with Facebook.
And you just got blown out today. With no notice, temporary ban, nothing.
Here's your content.
See ya.
Yeah, here's a zip file.
Well, it was nice of them to give you the content, at least, to get all your old pictures or whatever.
Yeah, I don't even know what's in it. I downloaded it.
It's all that stuff. Yeah. It's pictures, chats, pretty much any data they have that they had on you, basically. Sorry to hear that, but also kind of glad to hear it, man.
I'm kind of excited.
It's good to get off of there.
It's funny, I feel kind of good about it, in a way. I'm going to miss the people that I met over the years on there. There's a couple that I stayed in touch with outside of Facebook, so I have their contacts.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Cut off from everybody else.
Yeah, and the funny thing is I had a Sock account, and I don't even know where. I went to log into that instead, because I always got I had a Sock account, because I have groups and stuff that I you know, admin and stuff. And... You know, Coplock fan page is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I always kept that sock account in case anything happened, and I can't even find the sock account.
They blew that out, too.
It doesn't say that they did. I can't even, there's no provision for me to log into it in the first place, so I don't know where that is. How, interestingly, my third sock account, which is, I keep that just for work. Mm-hmm. Like, that's like, you know, to be in my company's, you know.
It's your squeaky clean one,
it's
right?
My squeaky clean one. I never ever log into it. I never use it.
Yeah.
When I started the job, I just never ended up going on it. That's still there.
Hmm.
And when I went to look at that, I'd actually received a contact from a colleague of mine who I've been trying to do business with, and she added me as a friend on that account. So I'm like, oh, maybe I should have checked this account a long time ago. So I don't know if I see myself, I don't know if I can resist being a voluntarist on Facebook if I go back to it at all. So I think I'll just ditch the squeaky clean account as well.
What do you mean you'll ditch it?
Just don't. What do I need it for? I'm kind of happy to be.
I see.
You know, now here's my big chance.
Just get rid of it all.
Just, you know, I'm not going to cut back on my heroin use. I'm just going to stop my heroin use.
Cold turkey.
Cold turkey.
Yeah.
Call it. Here's my big chance. I'm going to do it.
Digital cocaine is what the scientists are calling it.
It is. And Jay, you are always talking about dopamine hits. Dopamine hits.
That's right.
Every time I see you, you bring up the dopamine hit. And you ain't wrong.
No.
No.
They know it, too.
They know it, too. And they absolutely. And, you know, TikTok's infinitely the worst.
Are you on there, too?
No.
Oh, okay.
I won't go anywhere near that. That's absolute.
Is Nikki
poison.
On there?
No. Nikki Insta's hard.
Okay. Yeah. Girls would be girls.
Yeah, what is it with Insta? Like, there's quite a few people. I was surprised that my Insta account didn't get nuked because it's.
Really? It's connected, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's still there, though.
Well, Instagram, based on my research, is really wrecking teenage girls with the whole, you got to be, you know, this kind of pretty or this skinny or have this look or, you know, the makeup nonsense, you know, just all the emotional destabilization is doing to basically teenage girls is pretty... It's really bad. I actually have
it in show prep from 2 days ago, 3 days ago. Headline from the Wall Street Journal, teen girls experiencing record levels of sadness and suicide risk.
That's terrible.
We can talk about that. But actually, I got Rob on the line here in Vermont. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Rob.
Robert.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Not bad.
What's on your mind, dude?
All right. So, you know, the kind of thing that what Jay has been talking about, it's not anything new. This has been going on long before any of us were ever thought of. I mean, Roy Cohn, who was a lawyer during the McCarthy era, I mean, when he became a prosecuting attorney, I mean, he was doing that to all kinds of people back then. It just doesn't seem like it gets enough attention for the public to be able to see this. Until it happens to, you know, someone that they love or whatever. Yeah. And then the authorities like the police, the lawyers, the judges, social workers, they all have qualified immunity. So they can do all of whatever they want and never be held accountable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this generations of qualified immunity has created a culture of irresponsibility. And so what's happening is somebody really is a predator, and they want to go be a predator.
The best thing they can do is go work for the FBI.
Or whatever, go work for, but some of them can't qualify to work for the FBI, but anybody can go be a social worker. They're so desperate for social workers. They're constantly talking about advertising. Like I was, when I was doing this research on New Hampshire social workers, I kept on getting all these ads popping up for, be a social worker for the state of New Hampshire, blah, 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 you know, great incentives,
benefits.
So I started kind of looking through them. I didn't see where they were advertising qualified immunity, like, right up in front, but I wasn't really
going to, that was a Manchester Police Department.
Yeah, New York State Police, too, they would have these at the truck stops in New York. They would have, like, the helicopter parked and then, like, a Camaro or a Corvette or something. It's all state police.
But they took from a drug dealer or something.
Probably.
Like that.
And then they got like Tahoes and they're like bling. And, you know, everybody's shiny badges are all shined up and they're like, be part of, you know, the New York
State
Police starting at $75,000 a year. And then it was like full benefits, qualified immunity.
Wow.
You know, it says it, would say it right on the, a poster that, you know, in the truck stop.
Amazing.
So strange.
Yep.
Do we know
this whole thing is, it's a machine. It's a money-making machine. It's a self-preserving machine because they need kids to be able to, you know, keep the money, you know, coming in.
You know, Robert, I don't even think the money is the big thing. I think for anybody that's in, I think if you're power. Into money, you don't go to work for government for money. You go to government for power.
Mm-hmm.
These people are power junkies. Money is an afterthought. They don't even think about that. Social workers get paid nothing.
Yeah, that's a great point because, like, you know, you can look at these piddly little positions in New Hampshire, like town selectmen, which do not pay well at all.
But there are busy buddies who can't wait to get into it.
They will wield that power like nothing else.
Yep.
It's all they got.
Yeah, I went to a long, long time ago. You know, a lot of people know I was a chef for a really long time. But a long time ago, I didn't want to do that forever. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking, what are my options here? I could be, you know, that lady that comes around and inspects our restaurant every once in a while. I know what a clean restaurant's supposed to look like. I know what all the rules are. I could do that. I went to find out what it would pay to be a restaurant inspector, like a sanitation inspector in New York State. And they were paying like $40,000 a year with full benefits. It's like 1998. They're paying $40,000 a year with full benefits, but you had to drive your own car, and they didn't reimburse for gas or car.
And everyone will hate you.
And everybody, I still remember Ellie. I hope she bad things.
Mm-hmm.
I just did not like that woman at all. She waltz in whenever she wanted to start you know yelling at us about this and that, and Ellie, we're doing her
acts
job.
Like she owns the place.
Leave. Oh. But you're not allowed to tell them to leave.
Oh, and these same people in New York State would harass all the dairy farmers. Like, I can remember showing up to guys' farms, get a load of hay, and I'd be like, hey, Phil, how come you look like so upset? He's like, the health inspector was here today, and he wrote me up because I had my lunchbox on top of my hot water heater in my milk room, you know?
Yep.
Wow. And he was just, like, all upset. They would just harass the hell out of these guys.
Rob, anything else you want to share?
Yeah, I would only say to people that maybe you're just hearing this, but there's a book that's out there. It's only a couple hundred pages long. The name of the book is called The Respondent, and the author's name is Greg Ellis. And what the book talks about is, you know, what the Department of Child Welfare and the family court system did to him. And, you know, how he was able to, you know, get an appeal and get out and then fight the Department of Child Welfare and the family court system. It's a great book. I recommend it to anyone that's a parent.
One more time, what was it called?
The Respondent.
Okay.
And the author's name is Greg Ellis.
Thank you, Rob, for the call tonight, man. I appreciate hearing from you. The number is 603-283-6160. Since you brought it up here, and like I said, I had it in show prep from the Wall Street Journal, it's now nearly 3 out of 5 high school age girls in the U.S. who were surveyed reported feelings of persistent sadness or hopelessness in 2021, which is a roughly 60% increase over the past decade. According to CDC research, though both high school girls and boys reported experiencing mental health challenges, of course, this is in the midst of the COVID restrictions as well, so I'm sure that didn't make anything better. The girls reported higher levels of sexual violence, sadness, and suicide risk. In 2021, 57% of them reported experiencing persistent feelings of sadness or hopelessness in the past year, compared with just 36% in 2011. 30% reported they seriously considered attempting suicide, up from 19% in 2011. So that's like 50% increase. They're going from 19% to 30% in 10 years.
Yeah, and Francine Hugan, I think is her name, or Hughes. I did a bunch of research on her about a couple months ago. I'm actually doing a slideshow.
I think this ties in with one of your topics tonight.
Yeah, I'm doing a slideshow presentation that I'm building right now. I'm almost done with it, with the Autonomy Unlimited guys. I believe it's at autonomyunlimited.com, might be their website. I should check that out. But that's Richard Grove's operation.
Mm-hmm.
And Francine Hughes, I think is her name, she was talking about how Instagram and social media, she's a Facebook whistleblower, which, you know, a lot of people think that, you know, she didn't really do much testifying, but she's quoted in a lot of newspaper articles talking about how, the addiction of the social media creates dopamine loops. And she did say that she brought up about the suicide rate was, you know, being elevated, and especially teenage girls, because of, everything is going through this, you know, social media. And like when I was a little kid, you know, if we had a problem with somebody, we got in a fist fight. And then we realized, and actually all those kids I got in fist fights with growing up, we all became very good friends as teenagers and olders. I mean, it's just what boys did.
Mm-hmm.
And, but now what's happening is everybody's getting into keyboard flame wars, and they're not getting smacked in the head. They're not
long before
punched.
That, we went through a phase of hug it out. Hug it out.
Yeah, I didn't do much hug it out as a kid.
Told to do.
Yeah.
Like the generation right after me was very, very piled upon with this hug it out.
Okay, yeah.
Thing. You weren't allowed to smack talk and end up in a little 10-second brawl in the locker room.
Yeah, yeah.
Those 10-second brawls in the locker room are so incredibly important to male development. I'm sold.
I remember I probably shouldn't say the guy's name, but he might not even be alive anymore. But when I was in fifth grade, sixth grade it was, actually, I was in a new school. Me and this kid get into a scrap, and the one guy, big dude, teacher, breaks it up. And he goes, "We're going to have detention." And we get down there, and he's got boxing gloves for us. And and it was in the gym. And he's like, "All right, now you guys are going to fight." And we're like, "Well, we kind of worked it out already, you know?" So we just kind of, he's like, "Well, you're going to do it anyways. I want to see you." And he says to the kid who got in a fight with me after I knocked him on his butt a few times, he goes, "Why are you picking a fight with him? He stacks hay and stuff." You know, the other kid was just, you know, he was a city kid. But, that happened to my school. And I don't really know who knew about it, but we did have a boxing class, and this guy was part of the boxing thing. And me and that guy got along, you know, for years after that.
Well, I mean, we're a bunch of guys talking about how guys work things out here, but it's the ladies that are having the most difficulty, apparently, and more so. And it's kind of always been that way. They do point out here that young women are particularly vulnerable to anxiety and depression, given the higher rates of harassment and discrimination they face compared with boys. They also face career pressures, high beauty standards, and the expectation of motherhood, they say. But I mean, if you compare what it's like today for them to what it was like 20 or 30 years ago, you know, before Instagram, before Facebook, before competing for likes on TikTok or whatever, then they were competing in other ways with one another, but of a smaller group, right? Like they would only be competing within the set of the girls at the school, for instance. But now that's been expanded to online, and I suspect that has something to do with this. They're trying to, you know, compete with everybody. They have to get more likes than everybody else, and if they don't get enough likes, then they don't feel like they have enough self-worth. It seems like a lot of how they are these days is tied to that.
The likes feed the dopamine hits.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, there was another study that was done, and this was a whistleblower, like in 2013. In fact, I've had a hard time nailing this one down, but I got into it about a year ago. A guy worked for Apple was like, "Hey, we studied the dopamine hit on 3 to 5 year olds and the dopamine hit that they get from interacting with internet devices. And it was such an extreme dopamine hit that if a developed brain was to receive such a dopamine hit from a narcotic, it would result in an overdose." He said heroin or cocaine or something, but you know, a kid's brain is like 90% developed by the time they're 6 years old. So I got this quote on my phone somewhere, but there's a Jesuit priest, I believe his name is Loyola, but he's basically quoted saying, "If I can have the attention of your child until he's 7, I will control him for the rest of his life."
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is, you know, the left is, you know, I just remember Hillary Clinton talking about how we need to have
government
early childhood,
yeah,
you know, daycare and, you know, kids, you know, there should be government-funded, you know, daycare and, you know, preschool and all
that
stuff.
Yeah, they want to feed them all the environmental fear-mongering at as young of an age as possible.
Yeah, but so what's happening is we have a lot of moms and dads using internet devices as pacifiers.
Sure, well, they used to put kids in front of Barney when, you know, in the 1990s. Yep. And
the big difference between Barney and a tablet, and the big difference between, you know, a cartoon that's just being played versus an internet device that's gathering metadata.
No, I get what you're saying. The tablet's got the dopamine factor in a way that, you know, a VHS tape or DVD of Barney is certainly not going to. But that's what led to it, right? Is the parents parents are so busy just trying to make ends meet, trying to get the tax bill paid, trying to pay the power bill, that they don't have, they feel like at least, that they don't have the time, you know, to take care of their own kids. So in the 90s or whatever, it was sit them in front of the TV. Now it's sit them in front of a 5 or 7 inch tablet or whatever.
And a lot of parents are, you know, have their, you know, their drug they're into, whether it's, you know, nowadays it's watching lots of Netflix. But, you know, my grandmother, you know, she consumed, you know, several hours a day of
daytime TV,
you know, Law and Order, soap operas. And she made sure us kids, you know, had, you know, when we were hanging out with her a lot of the times, she would put a TV Barney or something on. I don't remember what it was. Tom and Jerry and Bugs Bunny and stuff, the real violent cartoons. So, you know, what I watched as a kid.
Yeah.
But she'd put that on in the other room for us. But, you know, today you got, you know, these people, a lot of people talk about how they binge watch all these programs. I'm like, shouldn't you be reading your kids' books instead of, like, devising? One of the things I say in my slideshow is, like, we need to, you know, if you took all the time that mom and kids are devising, and or parents and kids are devising, and put that time into parents reading to their kids, like, I literally read to my daughter and my son, you know, almost 2 hours a day sometimes.
Wow.
Well, we first thing in the morning a lot of times we wake up and we read books.
Mm-hmm.
In fact,
are they reading yet?
My daughter's going to be 3 here in about a week, and she is actually recognizing words. And actually, last night I was doing some stuff, and she goes, I'm going to read this book by myself. And so she's reading the book, like, she's narrating the book very close to what the book is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's not really reading the words, but she's like, Dad, what's this word mean? Or what's this word say right here? And it was, you know, a Curious George book that we read a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget what the word is right now, but she asked me about 10 or, you know, these words. And she's, but even like a year ago, last spring, we're walking through a parking lot, and was after this maple syrup thing, so it was like spring of last year. She walked up to a license plate. Is that a D? Is that a E? And she basically knows all the letters. She been able to count to 12 since she's been, like, you know, less than 2 years old, because 12 was what 12 eggs fills up a carton. And she's been getting eggs, you know, since she's you know, and even we don't have any pigs right now, but we had pigs up until about April of last year. Every time we would go out to the pigs, we would count them. And every time we would go check on the meat birds, I would, you know, try to count them. Sometimes it's hard to count 75 birds when you have that many, but see if any got, you know, taken away by weasels or skunks during the night. And so they know that stuff, and you're curious, but I haven't let my kids' minds get warped or influenced by internet devices. I actually have a couple of tablets now sitting on a shelf that the boxes haven't even been opened. You know,
somebody gave them to you, right?
Yes. Yep. People, oh, here's tablets for your kid. Mm-hmm. Two people gave me tablets.
Thanks, but no thanks.
And they're just on a shelf.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to use them. And
do they watch TV at all? Is there any kind of video?
What we have is we have a projector that just projects on the wall of our dome.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do watch that sometimes. We were on vacation.
Together?
Yep.
We watched together.
We were on vacation in Arizona, that was probably the most TV that actually I've watched in years. And my kids watch. They watch some cartoons with my grandmother. I mean, with their grandmother. And but that was you know, my grandma was like, oh, they should really watch this one, and or my mom's like, they should really watch this one. But she's into that. She's into having, you know, there's a TV in every single room in the house, and
that's pretty typical.
Right. And I'm like, you know, I'm like, hey, Mom, would you mind just shutting the TV off? We're going to read some books. And, you know, she was cool about it, because we get up in the morning, we usually, you know, read some books. And either my wife will read to him a little bit, or I'll read to him.
They can't read if there's a TV cackling in the background.
Yeah. So, so we do watch a. I've let him watch some old school Sesame Street.
Okay.
You know, from like the season
70s or
1969 is season one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's cool.
Less politicized back then.
Yep. Mm-hmm. There's another guy called Blippi, who my daughter absolutely loves. He's a YouTuber, and he does all kinds of neat stuff. Like, we'll go to the garden, we'll go to a playtorium, Blippi goes to a farm, Blippi drives an excavator. My kids love equipment.
Yep.
Because we're always messing around with equipment. Blippi drives a bobcat. So it's like realistic world stuff that is, you know, but like the animated, you know, jump around animals, little, you know, Pixar kind of stuff. I really want to stray away from that. But even like, it's on a projector in my house, so you can only see it at night, first off. So we don't watch anything during the day. And we, I don't like to do it and really consecutive nights in a row, but a lot of times we'll just go up in the upper dome. We won't even turn it on and we'll just play or just read books or whatever. The one thing I really like about the projector, if you're going to consume media, is when toddlers' eyes are very much developing, well, infants' eyes, and there's a sort of an epidemic of meiosis going on, which is an eye disease that results in nearsightedness.
Mm.
And they're finding this out a lot, especially in the Philippines and a lot of Southeast Asia, where most of the people's careers are doing internet work, screen work, so their kids are in front of screens. And the kids are going to school and they can't see the front of the classroom, and you know, so their eyes are developing to focus right where that screen is.
Mm-hmm.
You should look up meiosis. Children's health in the digital age would be a really good study that was just released about a year ago to read. There's a lot of information in that about the rewiring, essentially, of the kids' brains by internet devices.
Well, this is something we talked about on Free Talk Live over the last several years, and it, you know, specifically when it comes to young people, they find that teenagers aren't even hanging out with each other anymore. They're just online, quote unquote, together on some app. And
that's awful.
If they're in the same room, sometimes they're still on apps, even though they're physically together, and although that's not happening as often. So you want to talk about leading to depression and leading to anxiety, these disconnecting from other humans, I think, can definitely do that. There's more coming up here.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.